Voice of India. Mind Media, the voice of India.
Mind Media, the voice of India. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
Disclaimer: The views, comments and conclusion in the following program either expressed or implied are those of the host and not necessarily the beliefs of Mind Media. All the material presented by the host is warranted by the host and that the work is their original contribution or they have obtained proper permissions from the original contributors and it is free from any copyright infringements. At certain times, the host may express their views which may be slightly or extremely biased and hence listener's discretion is advised.
ఇప్పుడు మీకోసం నగేష్ పంచాగ్నులా గారి మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం కార్యక్రమం జనవరి 22, 2018 నాటి ఎపిసోడ్ పునఃప్రసారం.
వెల్కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం. ఈరోజు జనవరి 22, 2018 సోమవారం సాయంత్రం రాత్రి 9:30 భారత కాలమాన ప్రకారం ఈ కార్యక్రమం లైవ్ లో ప్రసారం కాబడుతోంది. ఈ కార్యక్రమాన్ని జనవరి 22 రాత్రి 9:30 భారత కాలమానం ప్రకారం మీరు వింటున్నట్లయితే ఇది ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రసారం. ఇక మరి ఏ ఇతర సమయాల్లోనైనా దీన్ని మీరు వింటున్నట్లయితే బహుశా అది రీబ్రాడ్కాస్ట్ చేయడం జరుగుతుంది. ఈ కార్యక్రమం యొక్క ఆర్కైవ్స్ audioboom.com/channel/mindmedialo మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం అనే సబ్ హెడ్ లో కూడా మీకు దొరుకుతాయి. ఇవాళ 60వ ఎపిసోడ్ మనం జరుపుకుంటున్నాం మన దేశం మన రాజ్యంలో. ముఖ్యంగా ఈరోజు సమాజంలో అణగారిపోతున్న సామాజిక విలువలు మరియు రాజకీయ విలువలు గురించి ఒక విశ్లేషణ కార్యక్రమాన్ని జరుపుదాం. అంతకంటే ముందుగా శ్రోతలు కొంతమంది యాజ్ యూజువల్ ఒక వీడియోగ్రాఫ్ మీద విశ్లేషణ కార్యక్రమాన్ని జరపమని ఒక వీడియో పంపడం జరిగింది. ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు షేర్ దట్ వీడియో విత్ యూ. బట్ అట్ ద సేమ్ టైం there is a lot of cry in the country nowadays, especially few segments of media. I don't want to criticize exclusively one segment of people, but unfortunately that is a fact. I was watching a news channel from Hyderabad, one news channel by name 4TV. There was a very good and big discussion yesterday. I watched it over a period of 1 hour. I'm going to share some of the information that what I have gathered from that news channel, and I want to present my opinion on that. The way they were talking, I don't agree with them, and in fact I rather disagree with them, but I want to share those views with you. In addition to that, there is another issue of Padmavati movie going on. If time permits, I would like to share a small opinion of mine on that kind of agitation, what is happening and why today, why everyone is behaving in such a fashion. Before we go into the show, I wanted to play a video which is, I think, one of the reputed journalists. I think he tells his name, so I leave it to him so that people listen to him directly. He's a very reputed journalist. I think he was also a video anchor in one of the TV channels back in 80s. Let's listen to him for about 13-minute segment, and then we'll address that video and we analyze that. This is, again, it is not our view. We are broadcasting the information that is presented on a public domain, and we are taking that audio bite and playing it here exclusively with a view to share our opinion, which is again protected under our journalistic rights and freedom of speech. I want to ask all the video, I want to basically, one, suggest the viewers, listeners, that this show here, we are not trying to criticize an issue between two religions. As I told you, Manadesham Manarajyam is always a show with a nationalist view and nationalist attitude. For myself, your host Nagesh Panchagnula, and the team of Manadesham Manarajyam, there is only one thought in our mind, that we all are Indians and we share equal rights, and nothing can come in between its citizens and the country. Even let it be religion, it cannot come in between. The true relationship between India and her children, her citizens, is only Indianism and nationalism, not any other ism. Not any other ism. Relationship between India and her children is exclusively Indianism. And unfortunately, I don't know why a lot of people are taking partisan lines, drawing lines, taking sides, and trying to differentiate people in the form of religion with some sarcasm and with vested interests and personal agendas. I want you to focus this video bite I'm going to play you now, and I wanted you to feel and sense the sarcasm in that which I have sensed, and I'll come back and analyze that video. Definitely assure you, I give you an unbiased analysis on that video, and I don't agree with the content of the video. Positively, I disagree with the content of the video, because I know what people are trying to propagate is not correct. But they have their right to propagate, as we have our right to propagate. But anyhow, for the benefit of all listeners of the show, here we go with the video bite.
Namaskar, saalon saal. पहले भारतीय जनसंघ, फिर भारतीय जनता पार्टी, इनके नेता, पुराने नेता एल के आडवाणी, अटल बिहारी वाजपेयी, केदारनाथ साहनी, विजय कुमार मल्होत्रा, मदन लाल खुराना, सालों साल चिल्लाते रहे तुष्टीकरण तुष्टीकरण, अल्पसंख्यकों का तुष्टीकरण, अल्पसंख्यकों माइनॉरिटी से इनका मतलब सीधा साधा मुसलमान से था, मुसलमानों का तुष्टीकरण हो रहा है इस देश में, कांग्रेस ने तुष्टीकरण किया है, और तुष्टीकरण के नाम पर सिर्फ एक बहुत बड़ी मिसाल ये देते थे कि हज की सब्सिडी दी जाती है, हज यात्रियों को सरकारी खर्चा दिया जाता है, सरकार को ऐसा नहीं करना चाहिए। इस हफ्ते प्रधान सेवक नरेंद्र मोदी की सरकार ने एक बहुत बढ़िया फैसला लिया कि हज की सब्सिडी बंद करें। बढ़िया फैसला मैं इसलिए कह रहा हूं कि यूं तो फैसला सन 2012 में हो गया था, जस्टिस आफताब आलम और जस्टिस रंजना प्रकाश, इनकी बेंच ने फैसला कर लिया था कि हज की जो सब्सिडी है वो खत्म की जानी चाहिए, और साथ ही में कुछ सवाल भी उठ रहे थे। सवाल ये उठ रहे थे कि डिड द कोर्ट होल्ड हज सब्सिडी इज अनकॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल, क्या अदालत मानती है कि जो हज की जो सब्सिडी है वो गैर संवैधानिक है, अनकॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल है। दूसरा सवाल उठ रहा था, डज इंडियन स्टेट रियली नॉट स्पेंड ऑन अदर रिलीजन्स, क्या जो भारतीय सरकार है, भारतीय राज्य है, सरकार है हमारी, क्या सिर्फ इस्लाम पर ही खर्च करती है और धर्मों पर सब्सिडी नहीं देती है। तीसरा सवाल उठ रहा था कि क्या सरकार सुप्रीम कोर्ट के सारे फैसलों का आदर करती है, और चौथा सवाल उठा था वो ये कि क्या सुप्रीम कोर्ट का हक बनता है कि सरकार को इस तरह का डायरेक्टिव दे। दरअसल हुआ क्या था कि सन 2011 एक साल पहले जस्टिस मार्कंडेय कार्जू और जस्टिस ज्ञानसुधा मिश्रा की अदालत ने हज सब्सिडी को कानूनी पाया था, संवैधानिक पाया था, वैध पाया था, लीगल पाया था कि हज सब्सिडी बनी रहनी चाहिए। इसी को ही इसी का नोट लेते हुए इन दोनों जज साहिबान ने आफ्ताब आलम और रंजना प्रकाश में 2012 एक साल बाद ऑब्जर्व किया, We also take note of the fact that the grant of subsidy has been found to be constitutionally valid by this court. हम जानते हैं कि इसी अदालत ने हज की जो सब्सिडी है उसको संवैधानिक रूप से उचित करार दिया है, constitutional करार दिया है। We are not oblivious of the fact that in many other purely religious events there are direct and indirect deployment of funds, state funds and state resources. हमें ये भी मालूम है कि सीधे प्रत्यक्ष या अप्रत्यक्ष तौर पर दूसरे धर्मों के जो आयोजन होते हैं उसमें भी सरकार का पैसा जो होता है वो सरकार का नहीं होता, जो जनता का होता है, हमारे टैक्स का पैसा होता है, वो खर्च किया जाता है। फिर भी हमारा विचार ही है, Nevertheless, there is a view that हज सब्सिडी something that is best done away with. फिर भी हमारा विचार ये है कि हज सब्सिडी को खत्म कर देना चाहिए। बहरहाल हज सब्सिडी को खत्म कर दिया गया है, हालांकि नीति बनाना सुप्रीम कोर्ट का काम नहीं होता, वो सरकार का प्रेरोगेटिव है, विशेष अधिकार है, सरकारी नीति पर अगर किसी को एतराज हो तो वो कोर्ट में जा सकता है। जस्टिस कार्जू ने ये भी कहा था कि ओनली इफ ए सब्सटेंशियल पार्ट ऑफ द एंटायर इनकम टैक्स कलेक्टेड और ए मेजर पोर्शन ऑफ द एंटायर सेंट्रल एक्साइज ऑफ कस्टम सेल्स टैक्स और ए सब्सटेंशियल पार्ट ऑफ एनी अदर टैक्स वर टू बी यूज्ड फॉर द प्रमोशन ऑफ एनी पर्टिकुलर रीजन, ओनली देन आर्टिकल 7 वुड बी इफेक्टेड। संविधान का जो आर्टिकल 27 है उस पर तभी असर पड़ेगा, जिसकी वजह से इनको असंवैधानिक कहा जा सकता है, अगर जो जनता के पैसे से टैक्स इकट्ठा किया गया है, चाहे वो नमक खरीदने पर टैक्स देता हो गरीब आदमी, चाहे कोई गाड़ी खरीदने पर, कार खरीदने पर ज्यादा टैक्स देता हो अमीर आदमी, तो जनता से टैक्स वसूला गया है उसका अगर बहुत बड़ा हिस्सा इस सब्सिडी पर, धर्म की सब्सिडी पर दिया जाता है तभी सही नहीं माना जाएगा। लेकिन क्योंकि जिसने भी ये पीएल डाली थी, जो पेटिशनर थे, उन्होंने ये नहीं कहा था कि बहुत बड़ा हिस्सा हमारे टैक्स का जाता है, इसलिए हज सब्सिडी जो है वो संवैधानिक है। अब जरा हज सब्सिडी का भी जिक्र कर लें कि हज सब्सिडी का फायदा किसको हुआ। हज सब्सिडी का फायदा सबसे ज्यादा सिर्फ एयर इंडिया को हुआ है, एयर इंडिया को जिंदा रखा गया है हज सब्सिडी के नाम पर। वो इस ढंग से कि सन 2016 में सरकार 2,21,050 रुपया ग्रीन कैटेगरी के पैसेंजर के लिए चार्ज करती रही है, जिसमें से 45,000 रुपए की टिकट एयरफेयर है, वो हवाई यात्रा की टिकट है। उसके अलावा 7,567 रुपए एयरपोर्ट चार्जिंग है, उसके अलावा 1,000 रुपया हज कमेटी की फीस है, उसके अलावा 5,000 सऊदी रियाल है फॉर अकोमोडेशन, ठहरने के जहां इंतजाम होगा रहने वहने का, करीब 85,000 रुपए बनता है उसका है वो। उसके अलावा 4,240 रियाल अदर्स, 4,240 रियाल जो बनते हैं वो करीब बनते हैं 64,500 रुपए, अगर उसमें से 680 रियाल हम कम कर दें जो गाइड का फी होता है। उसके अलावा ओपन मार्केट में अगर हम देखें तो एयर फेयर जो हवाई यात्रा की टिकट है वो बहुत कम है एयर इंडिया के मुकाबले में। ये पूरी मोनोपोली ही एयर इंडिया को दी गई कि हज के यात्री वो लेकर जाएंगे। उनका कहना ये था कि हज के यात्री को ले जाने के लिए हमें बाहर से भी हवाई जहाज किराए पर लेने पड़ते हैं, लिहाजा हमारी टिकट महंगी होती है। छोड़ने जाते हैं हज यात्रियों को, आना खाली पड़ता है वापस, और जब खाली वापस आते हैं फिर लेकर जाते हैं तो फिर आना खाली पड़ता है, और जब वहां से यात्रियों को लेकर आना शुरू करते हैं वापस तब यहां से जाने वाले कम हो जाते हैं। वाहनों की कमी नहीं है, एयर इंडिया ने बहुत बहुत कुछ इस बारे में कहा है, लेकिन सारा पैसा जो हज का था सब्सिडी का वो एयर इंडिया को गया है। 23,000 से 25,000 रुपए तक की टिकट मिलती है ओपन मार्केट में, अगर बल्क बुकिंग की जाए तो, ग्रुप बुकिंग की जाए तो। इसका मतलब ये हुआ कि सरकार करीब 85,000 से 90,000 रुपए एक्स्ट्रा हर हज यात्री से चार्ज करती आई है और हज सब्सिडी का पाखंड चलता रहा है। बहुत अच्छा हुआ ये पाखंड बंद हो गया है। अब आइए देखते हैं दूसरे धर्मों पर कितना खर्च होता है। आर्टिकल 290A के तहत केरल सरकार 46,50,000 रुपया देती है त्रावणकोर देवसम फंड को। तमिलनाडु सरकार देती है 13,50,000 रुपया देवसम फंड को मंदिरों की देखरेख के लिए। भारत सरकार 10 करोड़ अमरनाथ यात्रा के रूट को बेहतर बनाने के लिए देती है। 2017-2018 के बजट में भारतीय जनता पार्टी की सरकार जो राजस्थान में है उसने देवस्थान डिपार्टमेंट को 38,91,00,000 रुपए दिए जिसमें से 16 करोड़ वरिष्ठ नागरिकों के लिए थे। मध्य प्रदेश सरकार जो बहुत बुजुर्ग मुसलमान नागरिक हैं उनका जो अजमेर जाने का दिल करे उसके लिए वो पैसा देती है। कर्नाटक में चर्चिस की देखरेख के लिए 16,56,000 रुपया 2015-2016 में दिया गया। और इसके अलावा सेंटर जो है केंद्र है वो कुंभ मेलों पर जो चार कुंभ मेले होते हैं उन पर करोड़ों रुपया खर्च करता है। ये चार कुंभ मेले हरिद्वार, इलाहाबाद, नासिक और उज्जैन में होते हैं जहां पर करोड़ों लोग आते हैं। सन 2014 ही में केंद्र सरकार ने 1,150 करोड़ रुपए सिर्फ इलाहाबाद के कुंभ मेले पर खर्च किए। नासिक कुंभ के लिए महाराष्ट्र सरकार ने 2,500 करोड़ रुपए खर्च किए। किसानों को देने के लिए पैसा नहीं है, प्राथमिक शिक्षा में लगाने के लिए पैसा नहीं है, उच्च शिक्षा में लगाने के लिए पैसा नहीं है, बजट की कटौती हो रही है, लेकिन इस सबके लिए है। यूनियन कल्चरल मिनिस्ट्री 100 करोड़ मध्य प्रदेश सरकार को देती है सिंहस्थ महाकुंभ के लिए जो उज्जैन में हर 12वें साल में होता है। बीजेपी की जो शिवराज सिंह वाली चौहान है उसने करीब 3,400 करोड़ रुपए सन 2016 में खर्च किए और अगले कुंभ तक ये खबर ये जो अमाउंट है रकम 5,000 करोड़ होने की उम्मीद है। अखिलेश यादव की यूपी गवर्नमेंट ने कैलाश मानसरोवर यात्रा के लिए जो तिब्बत और चीन से होकर जाती है हर यात्री को 50,000 रुपए दिए और योगी आदित्यनाथ की सरकार में 50,000 से इसे बढ़ाकर 1,00,000 कर दिया गया। इसके अलावा आदित्यनाथ सरकार ने सिंधु दर्शन के लिए लद्दाख और जम्मू कश्मीर जाने वाले हर यात्री को 10,000 रुपए। उसके अलावा छत्तीसगढ़, दिल्ली, गुजरात, कर्नाटक, मध्य प्रदेश, उत्तराखंड सब कैलाश मानसरोवर यात्रा के लिए पैसे देते हैं। ये सब हमारे पैसे हैं, जनता के पैसे हैं। जनता इस बात से वाकिफ है ये नहीं है, हम नहीं जानते, लेकिन ये सब बातें अब खुलकर सामने आ रही हैं जब से हज की सब्सिडी बंद हुई है। अमरनाथ यात्रा के लिए भी केंद्र सरकार बहुत पैसा देती है और नवरात्रे जब होते हैं या गणेश चतुर्थी होती है, छठ पूजा होती है, तो जहां जहां पानी के तालाब हैं, बावड़ियां हैं, उनकी सफाई के लिए भी देती है। हालांकि ये काम म्युनिसिपल कॉर्पोरेशन का होता है जिसके लिए पहले ही टैक्स दे चुके होते हैं। बहरहाल ये कुछ मैंने आपको बातें बताई जो हमारी सरकारें खर्च करती हैं। इतने करोड़ों रुपयों को अगर जोड़ा जाए तो अरबों में जाएंगे। अब हज की सब्सिडी सुन लीजिए। सन 2012 में हुक्म हुआ था कि हज की सब्सिडी अगले 10 साल तक बंद कर दी जाए। 2012 में 837 करोड़ रुपए दिए गए थे, 2013 में 680 करोड़, 2014 में 577 करोड़, 2015 में 530 करोड़, 2016 में 405 करोड़, और इस दफे बंद कर दी गई है। बहुत अच्छा हुआ बंद कर दी गई है। अब इंतजार सिर्फ इस बात का है कि इस दफे जब हज की यात्रा शुरू होगी तो क्या मोनोपोली एकाधिकार फिर एयर इंडिया का होगा या और एयरलाइंस को भी मौका मिलेगा कि वो आए और फिर प्रतिस्पर्धा हो। एक ऐसी एयरलाइन जो हमारे पैसे से जिंदा रखी गई है वीआईपीज के लिए, औरों के लिए भी, क्या सिर्फ इकलौता एकाधिकार उसी का ही होगा या किसी और का भी होगा? एयर इंडिया का बहुत कुछ कहना है, जैसे मैंने पहले भी बताया था कि क्या वजह है कि उसकी टिकटें महंगी होती हैं। एक बात जो निकल कर सामने आई है वो ये है कि हज की सब्सिडी खत्म करके सरकार ने इशारा किया है कि जो सरकारें होती हैं और जो राजनीति होती है उसको धर्म से अलग रहना चाहिए। अब हमें उम्मीद रहेगी कि प्रधान सेवक नरेंद्र मोदी अगला कदम उठाएंगे और जो दूसरी सब्सिडीज हमने बताई हैं जो दूसरे धर्मों के लिए हैं, चाहे वो हिंदू हो, चाहे वो क्रिश्चियन हो, चाहे वो कोई भी धर्म हो, जैन हो, हालांकि जय लोग तो मेरे ख्याल को सब्सिडी लेते भी नहीं है, सिख भी नहीं लेते हैं। बहरहाल जहां जहां सब्सिडी है उसको भी बंद कर दिया जाए। धर्म हर एक का अपना अपना व्यक्तिगत मामला है, राज्य का धर्म नहीं होता। गवर्नमेंट्स कम एंड गो, स्टेट नेवर डाइज। भारतीयता एक छाते की तरह है जिसमें हम अपनी अलग अलग पहचान लेकर जिंदा रहते हैं, चाहे वो धार्मिक पहचान हो कि मैं हिंदू हूं या मुस्लिम हूं या मैं सिख हूं या ईसाई हूं या पारसी हूं या जैन हूं, चाहे वो मेरी इलाकाई पहचान हो कि मैं बिहारी हूं या मराठी हूं या तेलुगु हूं या तमिल हूं या मलयाली हूं या कश्मीरी हूं या पंजाबी हूं या नॉर्थ ईस्ट से हूं, मणिपुर से हूं, या अपने काम धंधे से अपनी पहचान हो कि मैं डॉक्टर हूं, मैं इंजीनियर हूं, मैं पायलट हूं, वगैरह वगैरह। ये सब भारतीयता के छाते तले ही मुमकिन है, किसी धर्म के छाते तले, एक धर्म के छाते तले मुमकिन नहीं है। प्रधान सेवक ने अच्छी शुरुआत की है, हमें इंतजार रहेगा कि जो बाकी धर्म है उनको लेकर भी ये कदम उठाए। आप देख रहे थे जनगण मन की बात। हम आपसे एक बार फिर इल्तिजा करेंगे, रिक्वेस्ट कर।
ओके, दैट इज द व्यू ऑफ जनगण मन की बात, समथिंग सिमिलर टू प्रधानमंत्री की मन की बात, but it is in a different direction. Now let's see what it is. There are few things I am interested in, and the program that what we heard tells us. Is, am I the only person or anyone else sensing the sarcasm in the speech? Let's see. On one notion, he sarcastically tells, you have removed or discontinued the subsidy for Hajj, and simultaneously now you do the same thing to other religions, the money that you spend on other religious aspects. Now the so-called pseudo-secularist got the sense of pseudo-secularism. Now he is talking, let us keep the religion out of government. I ask one question. Who is the one who involved religion in the government at the first place? Who is the one who started polarizing votes based on religion by appeasing one particular religion? Is it not the Congress? And the judgment of reduction of subsidy was given by Supreme Court when? Not after so-called Pradhan Sevak has come into power. Not while the so-called Bharatiya Jansangh was in power, not so-called when the RSS was in power, they were not even the players. And who gave it? It is Honorable Justice Aftazan. Who is a Muslim by religion? An Honorable Judge of the Supreme Court. And he said, subsidy and taking government assistance is against the principles of Islam. But the learned journalist friend, he did not talk anything about that. All he said was, Justice Markandeya Kazhu and Mishra said that subsidy is legal as long as it is within the limits, and he did not define how much is out of limit. And he also said subsidy is constitutional. And he raised four questions. Is it constitutional, number one? Does it spend on other religions also equally, number two? Does government honor Supreme Court decisions, number three? Can Supreme Court involve with these kind of religious matters, number four? These are the four questions people are raising now. Why not? Let's go question by question, one by one. Is giving subsidy unconstitutional? Definitely, I would say any kind of subsidy without an end to that, open-ended subsidy is always unconstitutional as per me. Why are you giving subsidy? Subsidy is not a rehabilitation program. It is only encouragement to ensure that social injustice is removed. It is only a sort of government aid to ensure people come onto the same platform. It is a way of aid by the government to ensure there is no deprived person in the community. And if that is open-ended, like our reservations, it is always unconstitutional. Conditions in 1950 are no longer the same as the conditions in 2018. They may improve, they may become worse, but they are definitely not the same. If giving reservation of 15% to one particular caste was genuine in 1950, definitely it will not be the same in 2018. It may be worse or it may be over. So if you say reservations is open-ended matter and I will benefit from that by votes, it is definitely unconstitutional as per me. Likewise, if subsidy is given unconditionally, continuously, forever, as a bonanza, is always unconstitutional. Now, question of, one more thing, he has raised a question. The so-called Bharatiya Jansangh, so-called Bharatiya Janata Party, so-called RSS, they always talk about appeasement of minorities. They always talk about appeasement of minorities and they talk about only subsidy on Hajj. My dear listeners, I wanted to alert you one thing here. The statement is absolutely wrong. Why? Because it is because of Dr. Shyama Prasad Mukherjee, one of the members of this particular crew. Today, West Bengal is still the part of India. Otherwise, you would have had another quarter of a dent gone into Pakistan, the then Pakistan and Bangladesh. Later, it would have been a full-fledged Bangladesh. What happened to these people who do minority appeasement? Was it not the effort of Dr. Mukherjee on that day that Bengal is still a part of India? Was it not the effort of Dr. Shyama Prasad Mukherjee that Kashmir is still a part of India? And don't you agree with these appeasement strategies? We are facing a lot of problems today which are primarily induced by the so-called pseudo-secularistic Congress Party. Is it not because of that? And who has introduced and enhanced the Hajj subsidy? Now, we'll address the second question. Does the government honor all Supreme Court decisions? Yes, it is obligatory on every part in India that they honor the judgment of Supreme Court. It is the culture of Indira Gandhi, not Bharatiya Janata Party, which tried to use the parliamentary power to override Supreme Court decisions, not Bharatiya Janata Party. The history stands witness. Supreme Court decisions are ignored not by Bharatiya Janata Party, they were more ignored by the previous governments. Now people cry about democracy is at stake. I'll come to that part of it. Now the next question, does it spend on other religions? It definitely spends on all religions. It better spend on religion. If you are pointing out to the question of Hinduism, it better spend more money than what it is doing today. Because the government extracts more money from Hindu religious organizations. And the money that is bred into the government by Hindu religious organizations is hard-earned money of Indians and especially Hindus. Because in every temple we pay tax, in every temple we pay entry fee, in every temple we pay service fee, and we go to temples, pilgrim places, at least twice or thrice in a year, and if possible, more than one place. And we pay more money to the government. On contrary, government is giving more relief in terms of tax to most of the Christian organizations which are getting dollars from outside into India, on which they don't even pay a single penny to the government. They spend on their private societies, they spend on their private tasks, they spend on their private missionaries. Still, Indian government gives them relief in terms of income tax because they are doing charitable activity in India in spite of they having conditions that they only support Christian missionaries and Christian organizations. And the amount of tax relief that government is giving those organizations is a lot more than what they spend on Kumbh Mela and other stuff. At least 10 to 20 times more than that. Only the tax relief part. My question is not whether subsidy to the Hajj should be released or should be banned or suspended. If so, the other religion spending should be suspended. That's where my question comes. Why are you bothered? Let us see the calculation. As per the same journalist who was speaking on that, in 2011, it was 750 crores was her subsidy. And last year, it was 280 crores. When you do the average of last 7 years, it is 450 crores per year was being spent towards her subsidy. Let us do a simple mathematics here. 450 crore per year multiplied by 12 years is 5,400 crores. Whereas, he was complaining in Kumbh Mela, we have spent 3,400 crores, which comes once in 12 years. If Kumbh Mela comes once in 12 years, and 80 crore Hindus are following that belief, that 3,400 crores divided by 12 is less than 283 crores per year on 80,000 crores of population versus 450 crores against 17 crore Muslims. Now tell me, is it justified? Religious spending be curtailed. Is it justified? Definitely not. What is that you have paid to the government? We have paid money. We definitely deserve a stake in that. Now the question of, can Supreme Court talk in religious matters? Or can Supreme Court make policy decisions? You are forcing it to make policy decisions now, my dear. Supreme Court can talk on Jallikattu. Supreme Court can talk on Travancore Devasthanam. Supreme Court can talk on Hajeli Darga. Supreme Court can talk on Senisinganapuram. Why can't Supreme Court talk on this? When Supreme Court talks on Senisinganapuram, you clap hands. When Supreme Court talks on Travancore Devasthanam, you clap hands. But when Supreme Court talks on subsidy to Hajj, you cry that democracy is at stake in India? Come on, give me a break. How fair is that? When Supreme Court talks on Teen Talaq, you bring the religion as a shadow. If you listen to the speeches of Asaduddin Owaisi, Shariat Rahega, Hum Log Jayenge, definitely beyond all of us. Let it be Hinduism or let it be Islam, it definitely stays beyond all of us. All those prophets and the revered people in the religion have not used the religion for their selfish motto. But my dear, we people are not doing that. We are using religion for our selfish motto. Yes, in the hands of people like us, religion will perish. Let it be Hinduism, let it be Islam, let it be Christianity. They will perish in the hands of the people like us. But in the hands of the previous revered prophets, it will live more longer time. Because they never used religion for their selfish goals. They have always shown the way of sacrifice. But you use it for your selfish goal. And when you lose, you crib. And you throw a stone. When only talaq-e-biddat was removed, the triple talaq, instant talaq was banned by the court. You make so much an issue that talaq is taken away, the right of Islam is taken away. For you, I want to remind you that there are more than 25 countries, Islamic countries, where India is a secular country. Islamic countries have banned triple talaq. They have banned triple talaq. But here we claim government spending on other religions must go. Why should it go? Basabta haq hai hamara. We pay taxes, it is our right. For 70 years you have enjoyed the fruits of our subsidy. And you yourself know who is benefiting that money, not the passenger. A ticket which is available for 23,000 is being sold at 85,000. And now you claim to survive, to make Air India survive, Hajj subsidy is taken out or Hajj subsidy is being given. Don't try to polarize people and split the people in India in the name of religion. When you lose, democracy is at stake. When you are the beneficiary, secularism is flourishing. that's not what India is about. But anyhow, we take a short break. We join back in 2 minutes in Manadesam Manarajam. Continue the show. Stay tuned.
Namaste. Neen mi Sunita. Meeru vintunaru Mind Media, The Voice of India. Idi Bharatiya Swaram.
1 minute music bite from band Indo Soul by Karthik Iyer.
Malia IP, Lucia DP, Golden Movie Classics, Sensational Topics, Burning Issues, Crazy Politics, Movie Gossips, Silly Logics, Thrilling Facts, Family Relations. Ila kaadedi ee aarjevanalaki anarham. Anduke nenu vinnavi, chadivinavi, naaku tarasapadinavi, rasaramyanga meeku andistanu. Chitram Bhadare Vichitramlo. Stay tuned to Chitram Bhadare Vichitram. Mee RJ Vennalato. Only on My In Media, The Voice of India.
Namaskaram andi, nenu mee LP Sriram. Meeru vintunnaru Mind Media, The Voice of India. Idi Bharatiya Swaram.
Hi, nenu mee RP Patnaik. Meeru vintunnaru Mind Media, The Voice of India. Idi Bharatiya Swaram.
Politics, crazy facts, relations, affections, స్కామ్లు డ్యాములు స్పోర్ట్స్ ఫేమస్ హాలిడే స్పాట్స్ గాసిప్స్ క్రేజీ టిప్స్ ఇలా కాదేది ఈ ఆర్జే వెన్నెలకి అనర్హం. అందుకే నాకు తారసపడినవన్నీ రసరమ్యంగా మీకు అందిస్తాను. చిత్రం భడారే విచిత్రంలో స్టేట్ ఉంటూ మై ఇన్ మీడియా ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. వింటారు
కదా
మీ ఆర్జే వెన్నెలతో.
Mind Media, the voice of India.
Mind Media, the voice of India. Idi Bharatiya Swaram.
Welcome back to Manadesam Manarajyam. We were talking about that issue with subsidy of Hajj, and we have analyzed that, is it constitutional? We have also said, like, does the spending on other religion should be curtailed because of this? We believe no, because the amount of money that is being spent on most of the Hindu festivals is a lot less in comparison to what is being spent on a particular religion or what is being given as a write-off in terms of tax to a particular religion. Another reason I would like to tell. India is the only country where large number of Hindu population is there. And India is the only country, we also call it as Devabhumi, Tam Deva Nirmitam Desham Hindustanam Pramuchyate. This is the land of Karma Bhumi. We have a lot of pilgrim places where people from all over the world fall into India. We don't go to other pilgrim places outside India. We go to pilgrim places within India. If government is spending 10,000 crores on making roads, where should it do? Should it spend that money on making silk roads to Pakistan, to China? Still in India. The infrastructure that is being developed to go to Amarnath is being used by several of our military campaigning also. And the money that is being spent by Hindus on their pilgrims is being spent in India again. And the benefit is being used by another Indian. And eventually boosting Indian economy. So why not? It is the same Ganesh celebrations which got India together when Lokmanya Bal Gangadhar Tilak started Ganesh Jayanti in a collective fashion and was helpful to kick British out of India. It was phenomenal. Religion always worked as a phenomenal way to unite people to fight against a problem. So why not? Yesterday in one of the speeches in Kurnool, Asaduddin Owaisi was speaking. As per him, it is most of the Muslim people have sacrificed their life to kick British out. And they did not write letters to British. And he was criticizing so badly Veer Savarkar. You might hate RSS. Keep it with you. But do not spread wrong information. It is the same RSS person, Dr. Shyama Prasad Mukherjee. Today, Bengal is still a part of India. It is courtesy of same Shyama Prasad Mukherjee from RSS. Kashmir is still part of India. Otherwise, they would have been long gone back. And it is courtesy of Muhammad Ali Jinnah that India has been split into parts. Just because of Jinnah, we cannot call every Muslim a Jinnah. There are Muslims inside India who love India. Don't try to split the people for your selfish goals. Don't try to polarize the community to achieve your selfish thoughts. You are telling a biggest lie in a public meeting that there was no Muslim member in Modi's government who were given an opportunity to talk on triple talaq, which is absolutely wrong. Go see YouTube videos how much time Minister M.J. Akbar was given to talk on triple talaq. Go how much time Shahnawaz Khan was given. Forget that there are so many Muslim women who are celebrating the abolition. Do not try to benefit. Utilize the issues for your personal goals. I was talking to a friend of mine who is from Old City in Hyderabad. He was telling on the other day, Saab, 50 saal se old city jaisa hi hai. Tarakki nahi hua hai. Padhai nahi hai. Growth nahi hai. Mainstream mein hum musalmanon ko kab aane dete hai Hindustan mein? Very valid question. It's a very valid question. So try to fix that if you can. Do not polarize people. Now, as I told you, direct involvement of state in any activity where there is public is involved becomes mandatory. Becomes mandatory. If one particular religion starts celebrating festival on the road, it is imperative and it is mandatory for the police to stand there and give security. If one particular civilian calls 10,000 people for the marriage of his son or a daughter, it becomes mandatory for the police to come and stand there, though they are not invitees, because it becomes an issue of law and order. And for that purpose, they are being paid. If Ganesh idols are immersed in the ponds, it is the responsibility of the local municipality to clean the tanks. But the facility and the fund that is available to the municipalities is not sufficient to handle that kind of issue. Hence, the government has to put in. We are paying Swachh Bharat cess, green tax cess. On top of tax, we are paying cess. So we have to, we have every right to enjoy the fruits of it. And after all, in democracy, by the people, for the people, of the people. Money comes by the people, money comes off the people, money spent for the people. So obviously it will be spent on people. So if anyone claims that Hindu festivals in India, on the same note, must be stopped, sorry, you are calling, you are opening a bigger can of worms which you cannot handle, I am telling you. You are opening a new can of worms for which you don't even have a remedy. Now let us see what is happening. Who is the cause behind all this? The opposition parties have become intolerant now. It is not India has become intolerant. Opposition parties have become intolerant because now the law are being implemented in India. The rules are being implemented in India. Now, why do you cry if 21 MLAs from Aam Aadmi Party are suspended by the are disqualified by the president? You make a big issue. There were several times MLAs were suspended in the disqualified in the past. When Chandrababu Naidu can get 28 times a stay in the High Court, was democracy not at stake then? When Jagan Mohan Reddy was not given such opportunity to be stayed, the investigation, was democracy not at stake? Congress and TDP collectively fought against Jagan and made sure he is imprisoned for 18 months. Where did all these people go? Was democracy not at stake then? When Ram Lal has thrown the government of N.T. Rama Rao and Nadanla Bhaskar Rao was made president of, sorry, the chief minister of Andhra Pradesh, was democracy not at stake? At all those times, democracy was not at stake because you are the beneficiary. Whenever there was a power to be changed in Andhra Pradesh, always you resorted to communal rights. Was democracy not at stake? Anyone who is in the age group of 40s and 60s will definitely know between 75 and 90 how many times there were communal rights in Hyderabad. Don't we know why those rights happened? Was democracy not at stake then? Was misuse of power not there then? When you do that, it is governance. When the rule is implemented, it is democracy at stake. Modi is doing monopoly. What is that he has done monopoly? In triple talaq, Supreme Court has given a decision. Subsidy of Hajj to be removed, decision was given by Congress, Supreme Court during Congress tenure. 2G Ponzi scam was filed by Congress. 2G scam was acquitted during Modi's time. So is democracy at stake? Did Modi compromise with Kalimuni and Raja and has taken a ransom and then released them? And poor Lalu Yadav could not pay and afford and he got stuck behind bars? Is that what you want to say? If evidence could not be proven, court have acquitted Raja and Kalimuni. If evidence was there, because it was proven, Lalu Prasad is arrested. Because stay is there on Chandrababu Naidu's investigation, there is no investigation and he is enjoying the post of chief minister. The moment if that stay is gone and if investigation is done, he has to stand in line along with a common man in the court of law. That is the power of law. So who is misusing democracy now? Poor fellow Jagan could not manage it. Law will take its own course. If you can manage, democracy being misused. You change the definition by the direction you stand in. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't polarize people. And definitely I'm telling you, if you are successful, you means the so-called left out Congress, the so-called pseudo-secularist, the so-called communist, and the so-called AIMIM or what is that? MIM. All India Majlis Ittehad al-Muslimin. If all of you collectively come together, you are not going to poll more than 20% votes. And by the time if your people, your polarized people realize your mistake, and if they realize you are misleading them, just imagine they will show you the right way. You cannot fool everyone all the time. You can make everyone fool for some time. You can make somebody fool for more time. But you can never make everyone fool for all the time. And your days are counting in. Now slowly people started understanding the value of education. People started understanding the value of liberty. People started understanding the power of questioning. People started understanding the power of questioning. For every minute you come back and say, in Haryana, for every 8 minutes there is one rape. Crime rate is increasing during Modi's tenure. What is Modi ji doing? You cannot protect Hindu woman and you come here to protect Islam woman. What is that statement, my dear? If I start saying, in every terrorist activity, the person caught always had a tie with Hyderabad. In every financial crime, there is a link to Hyderabad. Does that make every Hyderabadi a wrong person? If people are culprit because of their local thought, if people are culprit because of their selfish thought, they are branded as criminals. If politicians have such thought, you know where exactly your way is going to be when the people realize that you have cheated them. I'm going to tell you now. When Arvind Kejriwal, along with 20 of his MLAs, have taken office of profit, they are bound to be disqualified by law. If they are not disqualified for the past 2 years, justice delayed. But I tell you, it will not be denied and it has come to an effect. If Telangana government has used that parliament secretary as a rescue mode to give them power to some people, he has to pay the price too. As I told you, justice can be delayed, but it can never be delayed. Yes, there may be some selfish stuff going on between parties, and then there may be excuses. That is common. But if you use such an excuse, you will be bundled up with the criminal. If it is BJP, so be it. Doesn't matter. BJP has to pay the price if it has done a sin. But for your failure, you cannot claim democracy is at stake. If you are calling democracy is at stake, you are insulting the voter. You are insulting the voter. Voter very well knows whom he should send there. If Modi has done something wrong, he will be kicked out. But there is no guarantee he will be replaced by you. You may. 5 years you have stayed out of power. You came back and then you ruled the country for 10 years. What is it you have given? Scams and schemes. So this is the problem with the people now. When they are on the losing end, they call democracy is at stake. Monopoly ka raj chal raha hai. Muslims are being targeted. Why? Why should you be targeted? Why can't you be calm as all of us? Because you have a selfish motto. You want to sustain your power. You are in bed with Congress all these days and now Congress is gone. Now you are sustaining for your identity. You are fighting for your identity. And you are trying to polarize people. I want to answer one more question here. Now you are telling, हमारे शरीयत के ऊपर लड़ाई चल रहा है. वेर इज द वॉर अगेंस्ट शरीयत माय डियर? इट इज वन मुस्लिम वुमन हु केम एंड रेज्ड अ क्वेश्चन इन सुप्रीम कोर्ट अबाउट हर फंडामेंटल राइट. इट इज वन मुस्लिम वुमन शाबानो हु केम एंड रेज्ड अ क्वेश्चन इन सुप्रीम कोर्ट 40 इयर्स बैक. दैट वाज नॉट आरएसएस, दैट वाज नॉट बीजेपी इन शाबानो केस हु फाइल्ड अ केस. Why are you trying to show BJP, RSS, Hindutva as a demon to you? As I told you, it was not neither RSS nor BJP nor Subramanya Swami who filed a case in Shabanu. It was neither of these three who filed a petition before Supreme Court against triple talaq. The land of India was Indian since thousands of years of known history. Entry of Babur is recorded 1,000 years back in the history, or less than 1,000 years back. So the question of Ram Mandir before or Babri Masjid before, or a disputed structure before, I don't want to go into those details. There is a dispute, it is in front of the court, let court decide. But you cannot provoke people. You cannot provoke people. Let us all be Indians in India. Yes, India is only such a place which gives opportunity to a Maratha, to a Telugu, to a Tamil, to a Bengali, if we are distributed geographically. India is the only place which gives us a place and umbrella to sustain. If we are supposed to be distributed by religion as a Hindu or a Muslim or a Sikh or Sipahi or a Christian, yes, India is the only place, or India is one of the places which gives you a shelter if you want to decide yourself based on your knowledge as a doctor, as an engineer, as a professional, as a lawyer, as a laborer, as a carpenter, as an agriculturalist. You divide the way you want among people, India will give you a shelter. That is a magnanimous behavior of India. But if you want to divide India by people with their personal agendas, I'm telling you, India will not give you any shelter for that. India will prevail. All religions in India will prevail. But my dear, you will perish. And India has such a huge history that lot of invaders have gone, but India sustained. But anyhow, we conclude the show today. We meet us again in Manadesam Manarajyam on the 26th day of January, that is the Republic Day, Friday at 9:30 p.m. Till then, thank you very much for tuning in. I am your host Nagesh Panchagla, signing off for the day. If you would like to send some comments on this show, you may please feel free to do so on Manadesam Manarajyam Mind Media website or their Facebook account, or you can also send us mails on azadhindfaus1943@gmail.com, azadhindfaus1943@gmail.com. Once again, I appeal to all the citizens, let's not get lured by these politicians who are playing divisive strategies to divide people in India. Constitution is the supreme head of the state, and if something is written in law, it has to be followed and obeyed by every one of us. No one can misuse the law, but if they misuse, they definitely pay the penalty. What we have seen in the history. Indian public did not even spare Indira Gandhi, spare N.T. Ramarao, and will not spare anyone tomorrow. If Modi misuses the power, he will definitely pay the price. If Modi is just, he will be appreciated. Anyhow, thanks for tuning in. Have a good one.
Ippati varaku, meeru vinnaru Nagesh Panchagnula gari Manadesham Manarajyam karyakramam జనవరి 22, 2018 నాటి ఎపిసోడ్ పునఃప్రసారం.
మై మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. మై మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా.
మై మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.